Good morning, church. Thank you so much to Cesar for the wonderful announcements and also to Ellie for encouraging worship and also to Heather for guiding us in prayer. And so your service is very appreciating and thank you for that. In case you're wondering, Pastor Frank is on holidays for 3 weeks and so he's not here with us. So it's kind of quiet without him. No, it's not only him, okay? It's not only him. All the staff are not here, so I'm just here by myself. We're so used to see each other every week, face to face, and just working lots out of each other. But this time, I'm just by myself, and so multitasking sometimes is very difficult. And so, if you're hearing these weird noises in the background, that's because of the computer. It's got a loud fan. It's fuzzy sound. So, just bear with me. Now, last time I spoke on false teachers, which is our topic for this morning. Was probably about a year and a half ago, and so this is second round of false teachers, and our topic for today is called characteristics of false teachers, and we can read that in 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 1-3a, and just strictly going to talk about false teachers and their characteristics, and then Pastor Carla will be continuing on the destruction and the judgment of false teachers. Now, Peter in his deathbed reminds us and assures the people, especially in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19-21, which is what Pastor Frank spoke on last week, that the message they receive from the Lord is authentic and reliable. Because after all, they did not receive, and they did not merely interpret the scripture based off their wisdom, but that by the guiding of the Holy Spirit. And that is such a great reminder for you and I. Because the truth of the gospel has been passed down from generations to generations. But the thing is, in reality, that people actually don't take the truth according to the guiding of the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Holy Spirit, but instead they twist it upside down, perverting the gospel, distorting the gospel, to benefit their own desires. And so as we move on to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1-3a, where Peter addresses the false teachers, now he doesn't call them by names, their individual names, but instead he identifies them. He distinguishes them by their character, their culture, and their lifestyles. And he's actually not beating around the question. You know, he's not going around around the fence and just, you know, pretending that everything is okay, but he actually gets straight to the point. He actually confronts them, just like what Paul did to the Galatians as well. Now, in this world, one of the biggest profitable businesses is counterfeiting. And you probably have experienced it yourself, or you probably have some friends or family members who have experienced this to a certain extent. Now, scammers and fraud are everywhere. Fake jewelry, fake watches, fake shoes, fake everything these days. And how many of you have received random calls, scam calls from the CRA, or from people who claim to be from the CRA? How many of you have received calls from random strangers from somewhere around the world, claiming and demanding that we should pay them back the CRB, which is basically what their emergency fund is all about, to provide financial help for the Canadians. But the thing is that people actually tend to get in the way of these things and misrepresent certain people and actually manipulating vulnerable people. And actually, unfortunately, the reality is that people actually fall into this trap. But in the case of the false teachers, as we will be looking at this morning, this is totally the opposite. This is so serious to the point where by them misleading us, by them distorting the truth of the gospel, this is an eternity issue. It is serious stuff because in the ancient time, when people actually used to make false claims about certain things, especially about God, they will get stoned to death, especially for false prophets. And so this is a serious issue here. One thing about advertising companies here is that they want to be accurately be represented as much as possible. Now, if someone is endorsing your company or your product, of course, right? You want them to represent you well. You want them to be your the logo or the face of the company in some ways. You want to make sure that they don't misrepresent you or your company. For instance, in 2002, a UK sports manufacturer for football apparels came up with a new sneakers called Zyklon. And they immediately had to pull it off the shelves because they later realized that Zyklon, or Zyklon B in this case, is actually a type of gas used by the Nazis in the concentration camps during the World War II. So because of this, it raised a lot of contradictions and questions and concerns. And so they ultimately had to apologize. Now, of course, they didn't know, right? They didn't know. So, of course, this was just a simple mistake, an honest mistake. Now, for the case of the false teacher, they are hardly innocent. There's nothing innocent about this chapter. In chapter 2, Peter gets straight to the point. Peter gets straight to the heart of the lies, of the scams, of this false gospel that these preachers, these prophets are spreading around the world. And this is what Satan does. He's a liar. He's a counterfeiter. And we read in 2 Corinthians 11:14, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." We have seen this since the beginning of the creation in the Garden of Eden. Now I invite you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3a, and then read along with me. And we're reading from the NIV translation. "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even deny the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves, and many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories." Sorry, I missed the slide over there. Sorry. Now, out of this passage, we'll be looking at the four main points from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3a. And the first one being, they will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Second, they will deny the sovereign Lord who bought them. And third, many will follow their shameful ways. And lastly, they will exploit the church out of greed. First one, they will secretly introduce destructive heresy. Now, in the New Testament, secretly introduce means to bring something elsewhere, right, from outside. And we also read this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 4 as well. Paul says, "This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves." And also Jude chapter 1 verse 4 says, "For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord." What these false teachers brought in was a foreign teaching. The term heresy simply means a school of thought or a teaching. Now, in our modern days, we tend to think about heresy as having a negative connotation or tone, right? And that's actually true. But in this context, in the ancient times here, it was quite seen differently in those days. Now, the school of thought or the school of teaching was used by Josephus, a Jewish historian back in those days. And during his time, there were three different groups, or as we call it, three different sects of Jews, called the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. Now, they all had different opinions on human actions, and basically on the topic of especially on the topic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Josephus himself was a Pharisee, so of course, he hardly viewed this term heresy, as we call it, negative connotation or tone, as being a negative thing. But the thing is, however, in order to make it clear for the audience, to make it clear that the idea of heresy is not acceptable in our times, that Peter modifies teaching with destructive. Ultimately, because the outsiders or the false teachers were not adapting to the church tradition, but that they brought in new ideologies with them. And their purpose was to ultimately manipulate the vulnerable, God's people, the church, into the path of destruction. And we also read this in the story of Jeremiah chapter 6 as well. Now this was the time when people were be warned. God warned them. And God told the prophets, and in this case the prophet Jeremiah, to tell the people, to confront, to prepare the people in advance, to know and to realize that if they continue worshiping the idols, and in this case with the prophets of Baal, the prophets Baal, worshiping a false god, these people were wicked in those days. If they didn't stop doing these things, then God would judge them. They will be taken to captivity and to become slaves. And he says this in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 8. Take warning, Jerusalem. I will turn away from you and make your land desolate so no one can live in it. And also in verse 14. They dress the wound, and it's talking about the false teachers in those days. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there's no peace. In verse 15, are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame. They have no shame at all. Sorry, I can't really see the words over there. I'm just going to read here. Are they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. These false prophets in those days, they would say things like, oh, God is never coming back. Jesus is never coming back. Jesus never resurrected from the dead, especially in the context of the New Testament. This gives them assurance and the freedom and the relief that their lifestyle in the present day don't determine their future or the impact of their future. And so we move on to the second point. The second main point is this. They will deny the sovereign Lord who bought them. In 2 Peter, the author, Peter himself, picks up this common theme of purchase. And so when we think about purchase, we have this understanding of buying and selling, right? The idea of being redeemed, as we speak from the biblical point of view, in order to point that these people actually at one point did belong to Christ, these false teachers. But however, they didn't want to have anything to do with the church members. They didn't want to associate themselves with the church traditions, the faith. And most importantly, they didn't want to belong to Christ. And so they deny him. Now, the issue here is not whether they rejected the church faith statements or the creed, but that their lifestyle was the root of the problem. Their disobedience and lifestyle contradicted the teaching and lifestyle of Jesus. And we see a whole lot of those kinds of people in our world today, especially with the prosperity gospel preachers, the so-called wealth and materialistic gospel preachers. Dear friends, the name I am about to name, call out during my talk, might make you uncomfortable. But ultimately, I believe any pastor, any leader, any shepherd would have to speak the truth, even when it hurts, even when it is not easy to hear sometimes. Because false teachers are deceptive and dangerous, therefore they need to be confronted. They need to be dealt with. They like to proclaim their genuine faith and love of God. Say, "Oh God, I love you. You have given me this power and stuff like that." People actually have done it, especially when you see that on the live televisions and the social media. You see this everywhere. They like to proclaim their faith. They like to be seen as the man of God. They like to be seen as the man being authorized on behalf of God to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring promises to the people. They like to distort the truth. But the thing, when they're confronted by the public, when it comes to the real hard questions of faith, of the Bible, they like to distort the truth in a way that pleases the people. I wanted to share a story a little bit about Costin Hayne, and you probably might have seen it, or you probably might not. Costin Hayne is a pastor at Redeemer Bible Church in Gilbert, Arizona. And he's actually the nephew of Benny Hayne. Same last names, right? Benny Hayne, Costin Hayne. Now, at one point, Costin Hayne used to work with his uncle, Benny Hayne, very closely alongside of him. During the crusades, during these live events on the televisions, and you know, these people, you have thousands and thousands of people attending, and he was one of those people on the stage, alongside of his uncle, and he said he actually repented, right? He turned away from all these things, and now he's confronting all the so-called gospel. Prosperity gospel preachers, and especially his uncle, Benny Hayne. He said in those days, the fame, the comfort, wealth, fancy cars, private jets, millions and millions of dollars worth of mansions, boats, they were living a lavish style of life. And he says this about the gospel, the prosperity gospel preachers, based on his experience, and he was convicted of it, and he turned away from it. And he actually wrote a book called God, Greed, and the Prosperity Gospel. And he says this in one of his books, in one of the quotes: "The sovereignty of God matters to Christianity, and we could go as far as to say that it is unchristian to deny the sovereignty of God. The prosperity gospel certainly denies the sovereignty of God to the extent that it demeans God to the position of a puppet and elevates man to the position of a puppet master who makes confessional demands by faith. It does this by considering faith as a force and God as the one who must respond to our faith. This is a heretical twisting of true faith." And we can clearly see this is all true of these false preachers, these false prophets, these so-called the prosperity gospel preachers. Joel Osteen, yes, I said Joel Osteen. You probably might have seen him. You probably might have watched him. You probably might have some friends or family members who might have watched him as well. In one of the interviews with Larry King, he was asked if he believed that Jesus was the only way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. To which he answered, "I don't know. I believe there are many paths to Jesus." And he went on elaborating all these things, and he was just went around, beating around the question. He didn't ever go to the point. I mean, what kind of path is he talking about here? Get straight to the point, just like what Peter is doing here. See, the unfortunate reality is that the so-called religious leaders, Christian pastors or leaders, are seen and put on this, being elevated because of their so-called righteousness in front of the people, in front of the world, in front of the television. But when it comes to the hard questions, when it comes to the faith questions, they like to please the people rather than pleasing God and fearing him. Kenneth Copeland is another one as well. In one of his speeches, one of his teachings to the congregation, he asked the congregation, "Who is the biggest failure in the Bible?" And then he said, "God is." That is blasphemy, my friends. If Jesus was on earth right now, he wouldn't be riding a donkey. He wouldn't be on the plane preaching the gospel. That's what he said. He had the audacity to even talk about these things, to even have no fear for God, have no respect. Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher and a false prophet. And we're going to be digging deeper into what makes him the false prophet, what makes his friends false prophets as well, the ones that work with him. We move on to the third point. Many will follow their shameful ways. Leaders, especially false teachers, when they don't watch their doctrine, when they don't watch their lifestyles, they are blinded by all these lies, by all this wealth, by all this twisted truth of the gospel, therefore leading the people astray, leading the people into the path of destruction, in the pit of hell. Jesus said, "For many will come in my name, proclaiming to be Christ, and deceiving others. They are heretics." Simply heretic means a man who believes what he wishes to hear, instead of accepting the truth of God. Because for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Now there is a cult leader in Siberia, close to Russia. Actually, he's part of Russia. His name is Vissarion. He proclaims himself to be the Messiah, the so-called Messiah on earth. And he's got a lot of followers, actually. Vice News made a journey to there, interviewing him as well. Now, he's not the only one here. There's so many of them around the world claiming to be Messiah, claiming to be the Son of God, claiming to be the promised one, Jesus incarnated. And we see this in the case of prosperity gospel preachers, like Oral Roberts, or in the case, first light is this man right here. He calls himself the Son of God, or Quiboloy, in the Philippines. He likes to consider himself as the Son of God being here in this kingdom, presently, in our modern days. And next one on the list is good old Benny Hinn, right? We keep talking about Benny Hinn. We have these ministries. I remember when I first came to Canada, a lot of people actually used to respect him a lot through the television broadcast. And then next one on the list is Kenneth Copeland. Now this was with one of the reporters was trying to interview Kenneth Copeland, and he actually got really mad and threatened. And you can see in his reaction right here. And this is not the man of God. Is this what a man of God should to act like? Is this what a man of God should be? Kenneth Copeland is very rich. He's very wealthy. He's got private jets. He's even got his own airport, Kenneth Copeland Airport. He's got a mansion. He's got everything that the materialistic things that people would long for. I encourage you to go to on YouTube and search up those names, and you will see the many interviews and the documentaries about these people, and you will see how exposed they are to their secrets, all the lies that they've been carrying with them to the public, to the vulnerable people. And here, Jesse Duplantis is also one of the good friends of Kenneth Copeland. They're all the same. They all have something in common. Wealthy, rich, materialistic, money, everything, right? The gospel is tied in with all these things. And also the last one on the list is Creflo Dollar. They are all the same. They all have something in common. To manipulate the people of God for the benefit of money. Now, am I envious and jealous of what they have? No. No one should have the attitude of being jealous or being hateful towards certain people. I do not know entirely their hearts. I don't know where they are at. But I do believe that it is crucial to determine a tree from its fruit, whether good or bad. And that is what all Christians should be doing, to be able to distinguish the truth from the lies, and from the lies from the truth. Their actions, their words, and their lifestyles reflect their character and who they are. Friends, if we're not careful about who we watch on TV, if we're not careful about what we read on the internet, if we are not careful about who we associate ourselves with, or who we expose ourselves to, we will fall into the trap of destruction and into the trap of deception of Satan. This is just like the blind leading the blind, slowly, slowly walking towards the cliff. And the last point is this: they will exploit the church out of greed. Now, greed is a big thing here. They always want to have more and more. Oh, God told me to have this private jet. Oh, God gave me a revelation that, oh, I should have more than one private jet. So in order to conveniently travel around the world, because if I was travel commercial, I would have to be standing up in a line. In fact, actually, Kenneth Copeland actually said in one of the interviews, he even said it, if I was flying commercial, I would have to get into a tube of demons. And this is why you saw the picture earlier. He actually got mad because he was defending what he was talking about. But the thing is, he's just telling all these lies, right? He's just trying to get away, try to escape from all this confrontation of the public. People actually need to know the truth, but they are not genuine. They don't want to share the truth. What's on their list? What's on their list of the false teachers? Well, it's simple. Wealth, materialistic things, fame, success, money, and health. They will say, oh, give and it will be given to you. Now that's biblical, right? It's biblical. It's in the Bible. Give and it will be given to you. But that's not the first motivation. That's not the motivation that the Bible preaches. Send me money and I will send you the miracle water. I used to hear a whole lot of this back in those days when I used to watch Kenneth Copeland and his wife on television. All these prosperity gospel preachers have one thing in common. God wants you to be healthy and rich. Now, I believe that the good things, according to the will of God, we follow, right? We follow after those who are faithful and obedient to God. But success, wealth, and fame are far from being the first priorities in our lives as Christians. There are wolves in sheep clothing. Benny Hinn said in one of the TV broadcasts back in those days, he said, if you sow the seeds at $1,000, you will get the harvest. You will get to harvest what you put in. If you send me a $1,000 check right now in the envelope, you will get double than what you put in. Now, when was money even the crucial thing here? When was money the first thing for the true apostles back in those days, in the ancient time? Because if they could be given credits for performing miracles and healing people in those days, the money would be countless. They would be rich. But that's not what the truth of the gospel is all about. Many years ago, Kenneth Copeland and his wife were all the spotlights of the televangelist platform. Our family would watch him and his wife speaking all these satisfying and hopeful words to the people about giving and God would make you rich, wealthy. Now, we believed it because at the time we as Korean people, as Korean refugees, trying to settle into another chapter of life in Canada. Like, that was a big deal for us to hear. Like, it meant a lot to us. Like, wow, that was assuring. But little did we know that he would eventually turn out to be a false teacher and exposed for all the secrets that he's been hiding from the public. Kenneth Copeland doesn't even read the letters, the prayer requests sent by the congregation or the people. They would send in checks and donations along with prayer requests. And one of his employees, one of his workers in the church actually testified in one of the interviews that he never actually read the prayer request. His nephew constantly testified what it was like working alongside of his uncle, Benny Hinn. Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, they're all the same. What these false teachers are doing is basically equivalent to what a scammer does. This is like a pyramid in a sense, right? You have like pyramid here. Like some on the top, you have all these vulnerable people, the congregation, those people who are not able to distinguish the truth and the right, and then they fall into the trap. And we have done it in the past. I have done it too with all these businesses in the past that I've been a part of, these pyramids. Now, they have the individuals, these vulnerable people who are genuinely giving with all their heart, hoping to be healed, hoping to be given a promise of new life. But in the end, the one making a promise, which is the false teacher on the top of the pyramid, is the one who benefits the most at the very top. And so how do we spot or notice these false teachers today? There are many ways to do that. And we see it all throughout the Bible too. The Bible speaks a whole lot about the coming of Antichrist and the false teachers. But we're just going to be rewinding the 4 points that we talked about earlier here. And first thing is, they will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Second, they will deny the sovereign Lord who bought them. Third, many will follow their shameful ways. Fourth, they will exploit the church out of greed. If you know four of these things, at least, that is evident in anybody in a leadership position, a pastor, a leader, or anyone, then maybe, perhaps, God is telling you and I to open our eyes, to be able to distinguish, to notice, to observe, so that we don't fall into the trap of this deception. Friends, the time has come for you and I to open our eyes, to open our ears, to hear the truth, so that we can distinguish between the right and the wrong. Perhaps you have watched some of these false teachers, or maybe you have supported them in some ways. Well, now is the time to stop, especially my current friends. If you're watching Joel Osteen, if you're watching Kenneth Copeland, if you're watching Benny Hinn, if you're watching Kreffler Adler, if you're watching all these false teachers around the world, and I encourage you to do more research on that, so then you will better understand better for yourself. Then stop it. Stop giving money to the ones you don't even know how they're going to spend the money. My hope for all of us is that we continue to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, to give us wisdom, the wisdom of discernment, and to ultimately live according to His will. And most importantly, to be reminded that to be content, to live a life of contentment, to live abundantly, to live life to the fullest, as God has promised. I like how our brother Corbin Saver shared a few weeks ago about being content, because sometimes we tend to compare ourselves to others. We look at these so-called preachers on television, on social media, with Jordan's shoes, or you know, leather jackets, or suits, and all those things, and private jets, and mansions, and Rolls Royce, and you know, all these materialistic things that the world strives for. We sometimes think to ourselves, oh, why am I not in the shoes? I wish I could be that person. No, you don't want to be in that shoes. We came here into this earth with nothing, and then we will go back with nothing with us. This is just a temporary thing on this world, in this world, all these materialistic things. So let us seek God, and let us continue to be obedient to Him, and let us ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us in ways that we can discern God's will in every day of our lives. Let us read from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 to 18 as we conclude. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, forever and ever. Amen.